Tennessee Titans made probably their biggest decision of the offseason with the announcement that Rand Carthen will be the new general manager. And Rand Carthen will be the guy who will make pretty much all of the important, or most of the important decisions to follow now going through the offseason. It's not clear how much, if at all, he will be involved in the search for a new offensive coordinator and a couple other assistant coaches, but he is the guy. He has not met with local media yet as director of player personnel for the San Francisco 49ers. He has a team still in the playoffs, and I guess that means he has things to do this week and maybe for the next couple weeks in his old job. But we will look at Rand Carthen and more on this week's episode of Believe in Titans, your podcast for all things Titans news, with, as always, former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, how are you?
I'm doing great, David. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, thanks. And John Glennon. John, how are you?
I am well. Hope you guys are.
Doing great, thank you. And I am David Beauclair. And let me remind you that the Believe in Titans podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from NFL playoffs to pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. All right, gentlemen. Denard, what do you make of Rand Carthen? I don't think he's a guy who's well known to the average fan. What have you found out about him? What do you think of the decision to hire him?
Well, I think it's a great move. First of all, I would say congratulations to Rand. The only thing I wouldn't like about him is the fact that he went to the University of Florida. He's a Gator. I'm a Tiger, so we wouldn't mix very well. But I would say that congratulations. 41 years old. 41 years old, a young man, and he's worked his way up the ranks. Started out as a scout for the Atlanta Falcons back in 2008, and then he was a part of that St. Louis and then that Rams that when transitions to L.A., direct their player personnel. And he played for in San Francisco. He was there, 2017 until now. And what's interesting about Rand is he's a former player. We don't see that that often. From a general manager. I mean, I know Martin Mayhew, who's now with the Commanders, was a longtime player in the National Football League. So he brings not only experience, I think he can empathize with the players. And I think this is going to be a good move for Tennessee. And what was also interesting, David and John, is when I heard about the hire, the first thing that I thought was Carthen. And that's the son of Maurice Carthen. I mean, I was like, okay, the great Maurice Carthen, two-time Super Bowl winner for the G-Man. So again, he got the pedigree. I think this is going to be a great move for Tennessee in the long run.
Yeah, your playing career and his actually overlapped a little bit. Rand Carthen was a backup running back with the Colts in 2004, 2005, the last couple years of your career. So you guys might have even crossed paths at some point. But 16 carries in his career, you probably wouldn't remember him that much if you did, I would guess.
I don't remember much, but 2003, 2005, David, I was in another world.
On heading to the end of the line at that point.
Yeah,
John Glennon, it was an interesting, I guess, it was a fairly broad search. Seven different candidates brought in there. I although I don't know how much we can count Malik Boyd of Buffalo's personnel department right now. His interview ended Tuesday afternoon, and within a matter of hours, the news was out that Rand Carthen was the choice. But two in-house candidates, the Titans go for somebody from the outside, a fresh set of eyes. How important, how compelling you think that will be in terms of the decisions that are to come for this franchise?
Yeah, I mean, I like what I have heard so far. As you mentioned, you know, we haven't talked to Rand Carthen in person yet. We'll get to do that on Friday when he's introduced. But, you know, when you look at the resume in terms of what he's done, in terms of moving up the ladder quickly, it looks impressive. You know, some of the roles that he has held in San Francisco, director of personnel, director of player personnel, means you know, according to what the Titans have told us so far, that he had at least some role in the drafts for the 49ers in the last few years. And specifically, according to at least one story I read, that, you know, he and the scouts were sort of in charge of the later rounds for the 49ers, which is intriguing, you know, because in the last few years in the later rounds from fifth round on, they found guys like George Kittle, Brock Purdy, two local connections, Jawan Jennings from Tennessee and Richie James from Middle Tennessee State. So it's not crystal clear exactly, you know, what role he had in the drafting of college players, but it certainly looks like his evaluations played a key role there. And we obviously know in terms of pro personnel and player personnel, he had a big role in adding free agents to the team, and certainly the Niners have done very well and created a very deep roster, you know, one that they've been one of the best teams in the league for three of the past 4 years. But what struck me also in some of the stories I've read just recently here about Rand Carthen, Jim Wyatt and Paul Kowarski both had a couple pieces on him, and they talked about Rand Carthen's communication skills. Very good communicator, guy gets along with everybody, well respected by everybody. And that struck me because, you know, what we heard from Amy Adams Strunk in terms of the search was she was looking for someone who was a collaborator, you know, someone who could build consensus. And you could certainly read into that a little bit that maybe John Robinson was perhaps lacking in that. You know, that's what I read into it anyway. And so you got the idea in reading some of these quotes on Rand Carthen that the communication, the ability to kind of build consensus and to form strong relationships are some of his strengths. So, you know, even away from the talent evaluation, that seems to be a good pickup for the Titans as well.
Yeah, I have heard off the record from some people in the organization that Amy Adams Strunk was not happy with sort of the general mood that John Robinson created throughout the building, in addition to some of the holes in the roster and whatnot, that he was not, you know, he was not a ray of sunshine, if you will, walking the halls and in his encounters with people in various departments and whatnot. And, you know, one of the things in that regard that really jumps out to me about Rand Carthen was you read from his Florida days, his Florida teammates nicknamed him the mayor because they said it seemed like he knew everybody in Gainesville, Florida at that time. And it, you know, it seems like it, you know, just this big personality and one of those folks who probably has a knack for remembering everybody's name and a particular detail about them. And, you know, I think that will fit well with Mike Vrabel, because Mike Vrabel is one who's always talking about, you know, he'll find ways during the course of the season to bring up the name of somebody who works in the cafeteria or somebody who's a janitor in the building and try to say how important they are and elevate them a little bit. I think he places great value on everybody around the team and not just the team itself. So that should play well. And the other thing I think that the Titans fans should probably be encouraged about is coming from the 49ers. Rand Carthen was part of a front office there that seemed to have a very clear idea of what they wanted their team to be and how to get players to fit that. You know, we have seen general managers across the league. We've seen general managers with the Titans who sort of just draft good players and kind of hope to fit them all together, or players they think they are that are good players even, and try to fit them all together. I think the better mode, the better approach is to have a specific plan. And, you know, that's one thing John Robinson did try to do. He always talked about, you know, they had a grading system that was set specifically to, you know, guys that they thought would fit well into their systems. And I would imagine that will continue, if not even get better under Rand Carthen. But you know, exactly when he will start the job again, I assume is tied to how deep a run the 49ers make in the playoffs here. And there's a chance they could make a pretty deep run. But you know, John, you mentioned it. He's going to meet with the media probably on Friday for the first time. You know, Denard, you're not a media member, but if you were in that press conference Friday, what would you want to ask him? What would you want to know that you don't know about him yet?
Well, first of all, I would like to know what he learned from his days being with the 49ers organization. Remember, you emulate what you see in this league. It's a copycat league, whether it's front office or players. And he had a chance to learn from a player and a GM that I learned a lot from, and how to carry yourself and how smart he was. And that's John Lynch, AKA the Lynch Mob, the Hall of Famer. He is a great GM. He's doing a heck of a job there in San Francisco. And think about this. I mean, he had a chance to learn from Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan, again, a pedigree, you know, the son of the great Mike Shanahan. So he brings to Nashville so much knowledge. But one of the things that I would ask him, I would say, what happens if things don't go your way the first year? What are you going to do? And I would like to know, what are your long-term goals for this franchise? That's something that a lot of the fan base, they want to know. How do you envision this franchise going forward? When you put this thing together, what is it going to look like? And that's something that I think is very important to your fan base.
You mentioned too, Denard, that he is a former player in his own right. He's the son of a great player in the NFL, has that pedigree, has that connection. Now you've got a general manager and a head coach who sort of have that firsthand understanding. Do you think that will be important to the guys in the locker room? Do you think that will mean something to those players?
Yes, it means the world. I mean, look what's going on in San Francisco. Look at the relationship that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch has formed. I mean, that's a winning combination. In this league, it will not work if your GM and your head coach is not on the same page. So once again, you got a head coach in Mike Vrabel who played, 14, 15 years in the National Football League. He knows what it takes to win. Now you add a GM who actually, he played 3 years in the National Football League, and he comes from a pedigree, a dad who played a long time in the league. So that's just experiencing knowledge. And what I love about when you pair these two is I'm sure they can empathize with one another. I'm sure when it comes time to making drafts, I'm sure Mike Vrabel has a lot of input of what he wants. And I'm pretty sure when they collaborate and get together, they can form a kind of a bond where, hey, listen, you know, despite of our differences, we can come together for the greater cause of this team. That's what happens when you put two players together. I mean, that's empathy. And that goes a long way in this league.
John Glennon, what do you think is most important for Rand Carthen? Where does he start? I mean, every team has a long to-do list. The Titans maybe a little longer than some after ending the season on a 7-game losing streak and what have you. Where do you think he needs to start? What are the first questions he needs to answer about this team and this roster?
Well, I'll start with some questions that I'd be interested in hearing, you know, Rand Carthen answer on Friday as well. And you know, one, of course, is the question you always hear with any new GM coach set up, and then that is kind of who has final say so on the 53-man roster. We know that was with John Robinson previously. You know, he had tenure when he hired Mike Vrabel, so John Robinson had the final say on the 53. And you wonder now, does that shift back to Mike Vrabel? Mike Vrabel has been here, you know, since 2018, and certainly I would assume, as most coaches feel like they like to have more control of the roster. Are we going to see now Mike Vrabel have the final say so on the 53 man roster, or does Rand Carthen assume that role as well? So I'm curious on that front. I guess I'm also eager to learn just how much of a role he has played over the years at his various stops in evaluating college talent as well. The jobs he's had on the resume, it was pro scout in Atlanta, director of player personnel with the Rams, and director of pro personnel and player personnel with the 49ers. So I'm not, you see a lot of guys that rise through the ranks, and John Robinson was one of them, have some experience as a college scout. So I'm curious as to how much Rand Carthen has done on college evaluation. He may, the nature of his job, he may actually have done more than his title would show. But I'm curious there. But then when you look at the questions that Rand Carthen will have to answer, we'll have to figure out with the Titans, I think certainly the big one, that's on everybody's mind is this a reload or is this a rebuild for this franchise? Do you look at your franchise and say, okay, we just had 7 straight losses. We finished 7-10. This is a franchise on shaky grounds. We've got to do a massive overhaul. Or do you look at it, as the bigger picture and say, there were 6 straight winning seasons before that. We've gone to the playoffs in 3 of the 4 years prior to this one. There were a ton of injuries this year. So is it only a matter of, fixing a few things in order to get this team back online? So I'm very eager to hear what Rand Carthen has to say on that front, because that decision right there will probably, take the Titans one of two directions as they go into free agency, as they go into the draft, as they go into re-signing their own players as well.
Yeah, and I think to dig down on that idea a little farther, that the number one question you ask is Ryan Tannehill my quarterback? I think that's what Rand Carthen and Mike Vrabel have to decide first, and then everything goes from that. Because I believe we discussed it last week. You can cut Ryan Tannehill this offseason. You can save a lot of money against the salary cap, and if it's not Ryan Tannehill, if it's Malik Willis, is it Malik Willis? And if it's not Malik Willis, then who is it? Is Lamar Jackson going to hit the free agent market? Is it going to be Jimmy Garoppolo, a guy from San Francisco? Is it going to be Baker Mayfield? Is it going to be Derek Carr? There seems to be any number of options right now, but I think that has to be that has to be the first question that, as is the case, I think, for most NFL teams, you start with your quarterback and go from there, and that will be really telling. It's interesting to note, and Denard, I'm really curious to hear your feelings on this. I know as of 2 years ago, because I wrote a story about it, the Titans were one of I believe it was 5 NFL teams that had never had a minority as a head coach or general manager. There were 6. The Atlanta Falcons, when they hired Arthur Smith as head coach, they also hired Terry Fontenot, an African American, as their general manager. That got them off the list. And I did a story. No one from the Titans wanted to talk to me directly, but they did give me a bunch of information in terms of how they expanded the diversity within the organization and whatnot. Denard, you can certainly speak to this better than John and I can. Is this a big deal to get an African American in this spot?
You wanted to ask me that because I'm black?
You have a much better perspective on
I'm just
that than I
kidding
do. I
you.
mean,
Gotta have a
I, I
sense of
sometimes
humor.
feel like, you know, I sometimes feel like as a mem as a white member of the media, I need to, I need to care about this, and I don't know. You tell me. Should I care about this?
Yeah, we all should care, because it's not just it's opening doors for African Americans, or other minorities, but it's also going to open up the doors for women. We don't talk about that as much. I mean, women make up what, 41% of the workplace in the National Football League. Up to this day, there's 319 women that are employed in front office jobs in the National Football League. So that's big. What I love about this move, you imagine, since the inception of the Oilers and Titans, organization. There hasn't been one African American head coach nor GM. So this is a first. And what that represents to me is change. And it, when I only change, that means this organization, as well as this league, it's evolving. And I love the fact that now you have eight. You're talking about Ron Poles for the Bears. Of course, the Vikings with Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, Martin Mayhew for the Commanders, Terrence Futtenell for the Falcons, Brad Holmes for the Lions, Andrew Berry for the Browns. And maybe one day that we can have much more, you know, if they can go in there and do the job, if they're capable of doing it. And if you watch Rand and just look at the process that he's went through, he's been in a front office position in the last 14 years. So this is not something new to him. He's worked up the ranks. So what this move is about is it's telling young African Americans, it's telling other minorities that if you want to get into a front office position, if you work hard and you get around the right people in this league, that opportunity could one day present itself for you. And I see this as it's not just opening up doors for African Americans, but it's opening up doors for other minorities and as well as women. And this could be a huge move. Consider the fact that Ole's been around 63 years and this is a first. So, I mean, yeah, this is unprecedented in this hire.
And John, you sort of wrote about this today in a piece you did about Rand Carthen. You wouldn't expect any changes to the front office immediately because of the timing of the draft and whatnot, but how much change do you think will happen after the draft? Do you have any sense of he might want to do something different with the scouting staff? Certainly there's an opening in terms of the director of player personnel, Monty Olsenfort, who it was an in-house candidate for this job, got the general manager's job with the Arizona Cardinals. So there is one opening there, but should we expect a big overhaul of the front office at some point here this offseason?
Yeah, well, before I get to that, I was going to touch on the previous topic as well in terms of hiring an African American general manager. This organization, remember, had some work to do, in my opinion, to kind of dig out of a not so good situation. If you remember, Mike Mularkey went on a podcast in 2020 and talked about the fact that basically he was hired after what he said was basically a sham interview for Ray Horton, a previous Titans defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Mike Mularkey said he had basically been told he was hired before they interviewed Ray Horton, which was to strictly to comply with the Rooney Rule is what basically Mike Mularkey was said. And then you follow that up, with the legal discrimination or the racial discrimination suit that Brian Flores had against the NFL, in recent years too, which the Titans are part of, obviously as part of the NFL. So I think they took some very deliberate steps in order to show that they are moving in the right direction. And if you look at the candidates for this general manager position, look at five of them were African Americans. Not only that, but all of them were involved in the NFL's front office accelerator program, mm-hmm. Which the league did last December. And that's basically at the league meetings, they had somebody from every team, like a diversity representative, and they got to meet, with various owners and encourage forming relationships, and getting to know one another a little bit better. And again, when you look at the list of people the Titans interviewed, Rand Carthen was in that accelerator program, Glenn Cook from the Browns, Ian Cunningham from the Bears, Malik Boyd from the Bills, and Quentin Harris from the Cardinals. So clearly, I think, the Titans wanted to make sure, that they have changed their ways here a little bit and are certainly making every effort to be very diverse. And here we have Rand Carthen, a very, very highly qualified general manager. Anyway, all right. So onto the other topic that you mentioned. Yeah, I don't think we'll see huge changes in terms of the structure right away, because a lot of times what happens when a new general manager comes in, he'll keep his staff, the current staff in place, whether that's scouting or whether that's the personnel people in place, because so much has already gone on. As the team looks ahead towards the draft and the free agency, you don't want to throw all that information out the window right away. So my guess is that he'll probably keep this staff pretty similar right now. And then after the draft is when we may see more significant changes. That's when scouts typically get moved on if that's the case. And that is probably when Rand Carthen will hire, guys he wants as his right-hand advisors as well. When you look back at when John Robinson was hired, he hired Ryan Cowden in May after the draft to kind of be his right-hand man. So I would expect the more significant changes in the hierarchy to kind of take place after the draft at the end of April.
Yeah, and say this, because John Robinson's first draft with a scouting staff that he inherited and a draft board that I'm sure he inherited and made some changes on to some degree as he went, that first draft was a bit of a mixed bag. First round pick Jack Conklin worked out really, really well. First of three second round picks, the second overall pick for the Titans that year, Kevin Dodd, a complete disaster. Then Austin Johnson, good player, but just a role player throughout his career in the NFL, not exactly what you're looking for the 43rd overall pick. Then you get Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard. Those are two home run swings. You get Tajae Sharpe in the fifth round. So the idea that Rand Carthen has to come in and work with an unfamiliar scouting staff does not preclude the possibility of making good and meaningful picks for this franchise by any stretch of the imagination. All of that is to be seen, I guess, as we go forward. We mentioned there are coaching positions to be filled as well, most notably the offensive coordinator position. Mike Vrabel has filled this role twice before. When Matt LaFleur left after the 2018 season, he promoted Arthur Smith. When Arthur Smith left in 2021, he promoted Todd Downing. Denard Walker, do you think this offense needs a fresh set of eyes from the outside, or there are some in-house candidates, most notably Tim Kelly, who's been a coordinator in this league? Is it better to stick with somebody who knows the scheme and knows the players?
It depends on the head coach, Mike Vrabel. It depends on now your new general manager. I know when you sent me something earlier today, John, you mentioned a name that I was really excited that you put in an email, and that was Matt Nagy. I love this guy. Don't look at his record as a head coach, and he actually had a winning record for the
I was gonna
Bears,
say
but two.
his
Yeah, I
record
know,
was
but
not
he still
bad
got
at Mansfield.
fired. He still got fired, and I know he went and two playoff appearances, and that's what's alarming about that move in 2000. What was that? 22 that they 2021 that they fired
21,
him.
I think
Yeah,
fired after the
21. And but
2021 season,
and
yeah.
and what I love about Matt Nagy, and I love what Chicago general manager Ron Pace back in 2000, who was the general manager back then, he had a great quote about Matt Nagy, and he says he's highly intelligent. He has a creative, outside the box thought process, and what that means is that he's not one dimensional. You go back to 2017 when he was the offensive coordinator at Kansas City, and he had a quarterback by the name of who? Alex
Alex
Smith.
Smith, yeah.
Alex Smith, who was lighting it up, and Alex had been in the league some years. He had a 104.7 quarterback rating. He had the career best 26 touchdown passes, over 4,000 yards, passing yards. So again, if you bring in Matt Nagy, you know that he's capable of working with a veteran quarterback. Let's say if Ryan is on the roster next year, and that's what you need. You got to make sure that you address that quarterback position by who you going to bring in to call the plays, because they're going to work close together. And I think what I love about Matt Nagy is he's from that coaching tree of Andy Reid. Andy Reid is, to me, the epitome of a great offensive mind. And where did Matt Nagy learn? From Andy Reid. He spent a lot of years with Philly, with 5 years, and then he went with Andy to Kansas City. And I just think if you're going to go outside of the box, if you're not going to get a Bill O'Brien, why not Matt Nagy? I mean, the guy is a proven winner. He's a great offensive mind. And I think if Ryan Tannehill is on the roster next year, this can be a beautiful relationship between those two.
Yeah, it's interesting of the candidates the re that have been reported that the Titans have interest in. You've got the two from Kansas City and Matt Nagy and Eric Bieniemy, and I agree. I mean, if you're gonna borrow from somebody else's offense or change your offense in any way, you know, you want to get a piece of what Andy Reid is doing because Andy Reid has done it as long and as well as anyone in a long, long time in the NFL. The other one is quarterbacks coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Charles London, and you feel like part of the appeal there is that it wouldn't be a big transition for him because having worked on with Arthur Smith in Arthur Smith's offense there's going to be a lot of carryover and a lot of language and things that are very much the same in it, and it would make for a very easy transition. So in terms of the reported interest the Titans have at this point, I think there's a little bit of a mixed message there that makes me really interested to see which way they go now. And, you know, John, I guess same question to you though. Do you think this team is better served with some with a fresh set of eyes at this point?
I could go either way, but what bothers me is I hear too many people saying, we just need change, we just need fresh blood, you know, basically saying we need change for the sake of change. I think that's kind of ridiculous. You know, you look at who you think is going to be best for the job, not automatically say, well, he can't be in our system. I mean, like look at what's happened with some of the people that they have promoted from within. Certainly, Arthur Smith turned out to be a great move from within, moving him from tight ends coach to offensive coordinator worked out very well for the offense. Shane Bowen is on the other side of the ball, a guy that was promoted from within, and after kind of a shaky first year, whether no one really knew whether he was defensive coordinator or not. You know, since then, I think he has proven himself quite well. Obviously, it did not work as well with Todd Downing, but that shouldn't, you know, scare people away just because Todd Downing didn't work doesn't mean that no one will work from, you know, within the system. So, you know, I think Tim Kelly, obviously, very highly qualified candidate. And you know, by the same token, guys like, you know, whether it's a Pat O'Hara or Tony Dews too, you'd hate to be one of those guys and work hard for the organization, do a good job, and then have somebody say, well, we need fresh blood. We need, you know, we need a different look. Despite the fact that you guys have done your jobs very well, we don't really care. I think that, you know, opinion to me is a little ridiculous. I am intrigued very much also, yeah, by Matt Nagy. Charles London does seem to be a guy that's drawing intrigue around the league. He interviewed for the Dolphins offensive coordinator job last year. I think the Commanders are requesting an interview for an offensive coordinator position with him as well. And of course, he has a background. He was on Mike Vrabel's the same staff as Mike Vrabel in Houston for 4 years. So he is certainly intriguing. He's also going to be serving as the offensive coordinator at the Senior Bowl coming up, so getting a little experience in that regard as well. But you know, Eric Bieniemy to me is always the kind of guy that's the big question mark. You know, he's clearly done some things very well with Kansas City, you know, such a high powered offense, but he's almost, you know, kind of haunted by the fact that he is working for Andy Reid, who, as we've just all talked about, is a great offensive mind and a great play caller. So you're forever asking about Eric Bieniemy, well, how good is Eric Bieniemy? Because Andy Reid is really the guy that's, you know, pulling a lot of the strings, is really the play caller as far as we know, anyway. So the most experienced guys in terms of play calling, Tim Kelly and Matt Nagy. You know, I don't think the Titans could go wrong, you know, either way, honestly.
You mentioned Tony Dews, the current Titans running backs coach, and he's a real interesting candidate to me, assuming he's a candidate, and I don't know that we know that for a fact at this point, but you know, the majority of his coaching career has been in the college ranks, but he's been an offensive line coach. He's been a wide receivers coach. He's been a running backs coach. You know, his work with Derrick Henry, I think speaks for itself. But his history shows that he has a deep understanding of pretty much every aspect of the offense. He just hasn't worked with quarterbacks, but I would think that would create a real interesting dynamic. And of course, there's speculation out of Tampa that Byron Leftwich might be losing his job. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but I will never forget when he was a quarterback at Marshall and was playing a game and hurt his leg late, and they were in a hurry up mode, and his offensive lineman picking him up and carrying him down the field. I mean, that to me just speaks of a type of leadership that if I was running an organization of any kind, I would certainly want that kind of inspirational attitude on my team. And if he's out there, I think the Titans certainly should take a look at him. But there's no timetable that we've heard on when this search will conclude. So we will keep watching it and see what happens and talk about developments as they warrant. But that should do it for this episode of Believe in Titans, brought to you by Bet Online. For Denard Walker, Denard, thank you as always.
Thank you. Had a great time.
John, thank you.
Certainly. Thank you.
And to all you out there, we thank you for listening and downloading and referring us to your friends. And as always, we will be back next week with another episode of Believe in Titans.